Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and you have joined us live.
We are doing a webinar and podcast with R-Hub Communications, and I will introduce our guest in just a moment. But first thing I want to do is say that I hope that everybody is doing well. I know that we are well into the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders for most of us, and I hope that everybody is doing well. The businesses are continuing to prosper, and that if you've signed up for the PPP checks or any of that stuff, that they start showing up into your bank accounts real soon. So just wanted to get that out there. So the people that we're having on today, R-Hub Communications, is actually a product that I started using, I think 9 years ago, 2011. And I started using them because I wanted to get away from the product that I was using as remote support back then. And I wasn't doing full MSP back then. I did not have my RMM package. What I did have was AuddMeIn and GoToAssist. I found this product that was a lot less money. Once you factored in the ownership cost, it was an appliance that I purchased and did not have to pay any more monthly fee for. So don't know why it's taken me this long to get them on the show, but now I have them on. So I would like to introduce Larry Dorey, the CEO, and John Mao, the CTO of R-Hub Communications. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Thank you. We're good.
Great. Yeah.
Doing good?
Yes.
Surviving well in this shelter in place. We've been at it for over a month now, Marvin.
Okay. That's about the same time as we have here, although our people were slow to actually listen. Mm-hmm. But how are you guys doing out there in terms of, infections and cases and all that sort of stuff?
We're in Santa Clara County, and Santa Clara County has leveled off. But the deaths are still increasing, I think, because, if you look 2 weeks back on the curve, the cases were going up dramatically. So we're still getting deaths occurring, but at least the new cases have leveled off for us out here.
Okay. I hope they're leveling off here. We are in one of the hot spots down in South Florida, but I think we're doing okay. At least our county, we've slowed. And hopefully we'll turn the corner soon. So, all right, guys. So when I was introducing the company and the product, did I get everything right?
I think in general you did, but we do what is called all-in-one. So we take, in the old days, if you took GoToMeeting, GoToAssist, GoToMyPC as separate applications, we kind of rolled those all-in-one.
Right.
And that's one of the differences from the way we deliver the product to the way other people do. And of course, you mentioned that you have the appliance. The other difference is that we're on-premise.
Yes. Yep. And I thought I had a picture to show to prove to everybody that I do have it, but I'll find that a little bit later and throw that up there. But yeah, I buy the appliance. It's here in my office and I do all of my stuff through there. So before we get into the actual appliance, we had talked, I think it was last week or the week before, about all of the security issues that have come up since people started having to work from home and doing a lot more video conferencing. We know about the Zoom bombing or whatever the term is that's being called, where security has become a huge issue with video conferencing. So, John, if I remember correctly, you were the one that actually put out a white paper on security. Do you want to give us a little bit about that?
Yes, sure. You want me to present the desktop?
Yeah, go ahead and share your screen there at the bottom of the thing.
Okay, yeah, great. Let me share my screen. Okay. So you see my screen now, right?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, and so we prepare a white paper and to address, you know, to explain how security works. For desktop sharing and you know, web conference desktop sharing, it's really there's a two and a component in the security. One is the transmission and the security, you know, from A to B, and the data in between is encrypted. And this we call the transmission security. Another way is access security. And let's say I want to access B. How can I get you know, access to the, you know, the security and the authentication at the point B? You know, how can we get it to there? And the transmission security and so over, you know, over the internet, and everyone do the same technology. Now, you know, we use the SSL or other protocol like AES and the security protocol. And the access security right now, and you know, there's much difference, you know, between the different provider. The for cloud provider, you know, all we have is you know, the meeting ID, and like we join Zoom meeting, you know, our meeting, we have meeting ID, and sometimes we can put password there.
Right.
And that's the all the, you know, authentication we can have. And otherwise, and the cloud is really open. So that's why we get into the Zoom bombing and the issue. And because of the, you know, the meeting ID and the people can guess, or you send out the invitation, you know, in secure email, then you have all your meeting ID or password. If someone, you know, intercepted the email, and then you can get access to that meeting. That's what we call the access and security. And that's where, you know, there's really a gap. Today, and in terms of, you know, this online collaboration security, and the transmission security, there's almost, you know, everybody do the same. There's not much difference there.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, so with the R-Hub stuff, so everything, obviously, if you have an on-premise appliance, you know, everything is behind the firewalls. There's also no way for third parties to connect to, you know, either the device or any of the restreaming servers or anything like that, right?
Precisely. Yeah. Okay. The on-prem, and you know, that's we start our business and with, you know, on-premise, and try to, you know, to resolve this issue. Especially for the organization, they're really sensitive and you know, for this access security and protection. And so now they can put everything behind their firewall, but you know, they were still and do you know, for some application like a meeting, they were still invite external people to join. So how can you address that kind of issue? And so the way, you know, if, you know, for this public thing, and you know, the difference between your on-premise and the cloud is, the cloud is too well known. You know, like Zoom, you know, zoom.us, this URL, everyone knows that.
Right.
It's just too much hacking there. And so now you have a on-premise, you know, it's a very private, it's a very, you know, just a IPO domain, nobody else knows. You know, the hacker, you even don't bother for that. That actually, you know, and, remove a lot of, you know, headache. And if you put everything behind the firewall, and so for some company or banks, and then, you know, the your firewall take care of everything. And one benefit and for this on-premise deployment is LDAP integration. So now, because you move this, you know, the server and the on-premise, so from the server to your, you know, LDAP, it's within a network that's secured. So now you have, you know, deploy and this service to all the employee, it's just instant. It just takes a couple of minutes, you know, with your LDAP credential there, everyone can use that. And, you know, beside of this data access security and transmission security, another one is the privacy, you know, the data. And this meeting data, how can you protect that? And then when you use a cloud service, all this data is saved, you know, and provider have that. And actually, they have to consider it as their asset, their property. And they can use your data, you know, the customer data, any way they want. And beyond that, and also the government, and you know, can access that data. And just in 2017, you know, for the first 6 months, and Google, and have received about 50,000 requests, you know, from government, you know, around the world. And you know, they want to access, you know, what's going on there, and who joined the meeting, for example, and you know, the meeting history. And sometimes they perhaps they can even access the future, you know, meeting and, information.
Okay, and this and is just general requests that the government sent to Google, saying, "Hey, give us this information," or is this, you know, people trying to piggyback on sessions?
No. This is meeting information.
Okay.
This is meeting information. Yeah. And this is not like a real time data. This is like a meeting, you know, history, you know, this kind of data. But we, you know, if the government needed that, they can, you know, go to this cloud service provider request for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of when, for example, you know, recently we have article talk about the Zoom and, you know, the data, you know, share with Facebook. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but this is kind of the trouble we have. And, you don't have the control of your data. And so that's the security we're talking about.
Okay.
So we talk, yeah.
All right.
John, isn't there also an issue about end-to-end secure encryption?
Yeah, end-to-end encryption, and everyone tried to do this. You know, when we talk about end-to-end encryption, you know, data from A to B, you know, in between, we don't want any service provider decrypt in between, in the middle. So Zoom also getting into trouble, you know, in that area. Is some confusion there. And of course, our hub, you know, we provide end-to-end, and there's nothing in between the server that do not do the decryption. And that's what we call end-to-end. Of course, when you look for other provider, you want to check that if all the data is encrypted. And for this collaboration, and you have data, you know, screen sharing data, and you have a file transfer data, you have a video, you have audio, and you have a chat, and all these type of data, and you need to encrypt that. And, that's what we call it.
Okay, so let's use this as a way to transition into how the R-Hub is used, because I mentioned it primarily as a remote support appliance, but as Larry so eloquently corrected me, this is an all-in-one appliance. And one of the things that the security really comes into play is you can use this appliance for internal use only. So if you've got, for instance, I did have a law firm that I got to purchase one of your appliances, and they use it for internal meetings between their, at the time, six offices. And their in-house tech support person used it for remote support, and that was all internal to their network over their own VLAN, and so they didn't really have to go out over the open internet as well. So let's go ahead and start talking about some of the features for the appliance.
Okay, let me talk about that. And so we put and our product, and we have a number of application, you know, collaboration application here, and we have how many? And we have eight, you know, different application, and. We group this into two categories. One is we call the online meeting. Another one is remote support. For the online meeting, and we have a full application, and under this category. One is interactive meeting. You know, people share the desktop, and they do the remote control, and or the control the remote. They can collaborate and for a document, you know, work on the same document, and they can change the presenter. This that kind of functions, and for you know sales presentation, engineering and collaboration. And another one is the video conference. The video conference, and you have, you know, right now you can show, you know, your webcam. You can cover the entire screen and for HD. And then you can even cross and a different monitor. If you have a multiple monitor, we can spread the screen on the webcam to a different monitor. And the third, and then we have the other one is live streaming and the webinar. You know, for these people, don't need to download anything. So the remote support and the typical remote support is, you know, like LogMeIn, and we call it remote support. And another one is GoToMyPC, we call it remote access. It's also built in into this appliance. And the difference between remote support and online meeting is the client, the running, you know, the privilege and on that remote computer. And when you do the remote support, you want to have a full control of the remote support. For online meeting, you don't need that. And for example, the window, you have a UAC, I would say the user access control. And when that pop out, and if you use an online meeting tool, you will immediately lose the control. You could not do anything. And for example, you want to do remote reboot and or change a user. That kind of privilege, you know, requires extremely high. And online meeting cannot do that. You know, Zoom or this kind of, you know, tool, they are not designed for that. So that's where this, you know, this comes in. And this version 8, we introduced a remote hand. The remote hand is different from, let me see. Let me pull this out here. Remote hand, we use, you know, the video to do remote support. And right now, and when we talk about, you know, remote support, we concentrate on, you know, support the desktop, the remote desktop. What about the remote and remote site is a physical object? For example, you have your simple phone. Your simple phone, you know, has a problem there. How can you reach it to this, you know, the phone and the telephone? You cannot do that. That's a physical device. And if a user has trouble to use that or you know, something wrong there. And so that's what we come in for the remote hand. We use a video and the HD webcam and the pointer there. And that camera could be your mobile camera. And then you point it there, and then the remote guy, the support guy, can see that, can annotate and this video. They can pinpoint it to where it is. And then both, you know, and the remote and the supporter, they can share the same video, they can annotate over the video. That's this remote hand is, you know, we just look at this, you know, this is this guy we show, you know, and we, you know, have some problem with the airline engine, you know, you have a repair, you have a problem there. So that you could not use a desktop sharing to do that, you know, that construction and the gas on the line and you know, the electricity cable and the city utility. And the first responders, the application is just on and on. So that's, you know, our overall application we have. We bundle all this and into a one package. So now, this applies to a different department, for the sales part, you know, and the department and the HR department. They mostly use the online meeting or video conference for the IT, you know, for the customer support. Or IT support, they will use our, you know, remote support package. So once you have this, you don't need to shop around, you know, looking for a different vendor. You can just have one box and take care of this collaboration needs in your organization.
All right, I can say this now. When you guys showed me the remote hand about a month ago, mm-hmm. I can tell you that my first thought was the best benefit of that is I didn't have to worry about trying to do something with FaceTime with somebody's phone or whatever. So I didn't have to give out my cell phone number in order to have somebody do a FaceTime to show me something. That right. The remote hand feature, you know, we can connect to their phone or their tablet over Wi-Fi or cell and be able to interact with that remote session as opposed to just sending a picture or you know, watching a video or something like that. So I like that.
Yeah. Also, Marvin, just to add to it, we do have the ability to do remote hand in the field. You can actually take one of our little servers and you can battery power it. And with a Wi-Fi connection, you can actually have a team in the field doing remote hand collaboration.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, Larry, could you share, you know, the AT&T and repair story, you know, the service?
Well, I mean, yeah, we can certainly share the story, but we got to keep the vendor neutral. So there's a situation where a guy had a modem problem, and when the support person came out to work on the modem, The modem was an old one he wasn't familiar with. So he called in for support. And the support conversation with the guy on the site lasted over an hour. They could not get the modem fixed. The person who owned the modem knew about remote hand and so said to the two support people, let's try this tool. They fired up a remote hand session and they fixed the modem in 3 minutes. After 1 hour of conversation, the visual communications solved the problem in 3 minutes.
Hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, you know, one of the things that I think you didn't mention when we were talking about remote, and I apologize that that's really my only experience is the remote sessions, is that you can have unattended access through the appliance. And even though I have my RMM platform, I still keep this for unattended access to all the servers that I maintain as a backup. So if there's ever an issue with my RMM, I just go back to the R-Hub and I've got access, you know, through the R-Hub. So unattended access comes with all versions of the appliance, right?
Go ahead. All right.
It doesn't come with the video conference one, but okay. Yeah, everything else it does. Yeah.
Right. We have a little diagram here, you know, show you and a different model. We have the remote support is, you know, in this category. And, you know, almost, you know, the most model that, you know, we have included remote support function.
Okay.
And when the unattended support is really, we, you know, classify as remote access. You can convert, you know, the remote support session into remote access and in real time. And but the, you know, function wise is the same as remote access. Basically, you know, the remote computer just sits there 24/7. You can access there, you can remote reboot and or even safe reboot. As long as the remote computer is connected to the internet and powered, and you can access that.
So, John, isn't that also a secure tunnel between the two endpoints?
Yeah, this end-to-end. And let me show you, you know, our interface, you know, what it looks like. And this one, you download it, quickly download it from me in, your box. And you can have a different meeting type, and depend on your needs. And remote support is here. You just click remote support. And then you send an invite to tell people, so now you can, you know, and take control of the other computer. Now I set up a session here. So here, this is my remote computer in my home, and I can access there. So you can send a file, and you can, let me see. I opened too many stuff here. And but you can open a remote video, and it's not a HD video, but you can collaborate through the video, and send a file report, and another one, a nice function is you can present your desktop. Let me see if I can have, you know, a diagram here. So you see this diagram shows and what we can offer, and. When you have a remote support, most time it's just window one. But sometimes you get into trouble. You want to have your engineer join in, or want your manager join in, you know, to see, you know, how do we collaborate, you know, together to resolve the issue. And then sometimes you perhaps invite a third party and a vendor to join, you know, collaborate to solve this issue. That's a very nice function. And another way, you know, in between, and you can present your screen. You can switch, you know, screen to you or to anybody, and actually, and you can do in the in-session training of course, you invite people. A lot of benefit is, you know, on-job training also. You can train your colleague and see, you know, show them how you, you know, solve the problem, and then, of course, you can record this session and for archive. And we can do a simple, you know, remote support and for mobile. The mobile support is a two-way. And you can use the mobile to support a PC or Mac. And another one is you use a PC and to support the mobile. Now, the reverse way is, the functionality is very limited today. But what we do, we use the annotation you know, to annotate in the remote and mobile desktop and show, you know, hey, you tap this one and go to the next, you know, tap this manual, go to the next, and that kind of, you know, very limited and remote support we can offer. And
Marvin, I just want to make a comment about the current movement to working at home and remote access. When you have your information on your corporate network, and now you have people working from home accessing that network using remote access, the beauty is that it is a secure tunnel between that person working from home and your network. And even if the person at home has a compromised endpoint device, you know, possibly a man in the middle hack or something, and somebody is actually monitoring that activity, they still cannot join that corporate network. That link between the user, the person working from home, and the corporate network is a secure network, secure link, and cannot be compromised or hacked by anything that might be on that endpoint. Because now one of the biggest concerns companies have to have is the security holes of all the endpoints accessing their network remotely.
Yeah.
So even if somebody sends out, say, for instance, I send a one-off user a invitation to join a session, you know, whether it's, you know, a full-time employee or a part-time, if I send them a session and that session, I mean, because there's still a meeting ID and password that comes through that, or are you talking about when you connect them to LDAP or your Active Directory on the corporate network?
Yeah, I mean, when they're authenticated, and obviously LDAP is the best way, when you set up the meeting, the remote access meeting, of course, a password is required, and they are on a VPN connection. Obviously, the best way to do this is to have, when you send someone at home, they're on a VPN connection into your network. That whole setup is, you can't hack that remotely. You can see what that person's doing of course, the passwords, you can't. If you're on the device, if you're a man in the middle on the device that's being used, you can't see the password, right?
Okay,
because that's
great.
All encrypted. So there's that level of security, and there's also the fact that they're on a tunnel, and you can't replicate that remotely.
Okay, John, you were getting ready to say.
Yeah, and I want to say, you know, and here we continue to talk about the remote access. And you see, I have a number of sessions here, and, you know, just like you there. So we have a tab here, show active session, and you're running there. And I have an office computer and a Windows 7. And here, let me see, like, out of there. I work from home now, and see here, if I want to access a computer, you know, from office, and I can access the resource there, I can transfer file. That's a very handy tool. Yeah, that's what you're using also, right?
Yeah, we actually do that with the active sessions, and
yeah.
I know that one of the things is that technically. The appliances have unlimited users. Now, some of them may have a limit as to the number of sessions you can have running, but in terms of the users you can have set up on it, there's no limit that you guys have seemed to put into the product.
Well, that's a very, very, very good one, and I want to mention that. And our tool, you know, the license is different from the cloud license. Cloud license, usually they use called a named license. You know, one user, you have one account, you have one, you know, login name there, they sell the license per user. You know, even per license is cheap, like, you know, $20 a month or $60 a month. It's not a big deal. But when you add up, it can quickly become a real trouble. So our license, we call it floating license. We don't charge the per user name. We charge the concurrent, you know, collection. You know, no matter how many user you have, And as long as you control, you know, the concurrent connection with that will be fine. This is very much like a telephone, you know, telephone line. And if you have a 1,000 employee, you are not going to order 1,000, you know, a telephone line and the trunks, you know, from AT&T. You perhaps only, you know, order 100. You expect not 1,000 people will, you know, pick up a phone at the same time. That's the same. And we hear, and that's called a floating license. You know, these 100 trunks is a float. And, you know, if you pick the data, you use that. Otherwise, that's available for others. So this one is a very cost and effective for organization. So now this beautiful tool and can apply to everyone. And because not everyone, you know, use and the meeting or remote support at the same time, so you don't need to buy, you know, 1,000 license from us. You just buy, you know, 100, perhaps it's enough, same as a telephone.
Yep. But if you need 1,000 licenses, you can get it.
Yeah, of course, of course. And our license, and it's here, the pricing is it's very reasonable. And we started with a couple $100. And then you can incremental increase and the license. You know, we have two parameters. One is we call the room, and for meeting, we call the room and same as the remote support. A lot of them call it attendee. The room is is a matter of session, how many sessions you want, and the attendee is the aggregate and attendee and in this server. And let's say you buy a 2 meeting room, you know, 20 and a participant. So now you can have one meeting have just two, the other one have 18 participants.
Okay, and folks, as you can see, he's pulling everything direct from the website. So I was gonna mention this at the end, but I'll mention it now, rhubcom.com. Not a typo there, rhubcom.com. And just about everything we're talking about here can be found on the website, including the pricing.
Right.
Very transparent there.
Yeah, remote support, you know, started with, you know, just about less than $400. And here, remote access is same. And then when you add one computer, you know, we just charge you $19. This is like a one-time charge. And that's yours.
Right. Yeah. You own the appliance, and there's no recurring month-to-month charges. I think the only thing that I've paid for is a maintenance for support.
Yeah, and we charge that 20% a year, and that's optional. And if you don't want to pay, that's fine. You know, you can keep that yours.
Okay.
Probably the biggest benefit to the warranty is the software updates. Wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah, that's true. You know, we keep working on this and, you know, keep change. And because operating system, you know, all these device operating system change, they're changing their security policy. So we, of course, we keep adding function. And that's the 20% and the warranty will include the hardware replacement. If there's anything wrong with our hardware, and by the way, we deliver this as embedded in the hardware. So the reason we deliver as a hardware is reliability. So this is a closed system, and you have that, you know, 24/7. It's all around there. It's just like your router, your home router. You just forget about it. And so this, if this device in the middle, you know, anything wrong with that, and we will replace that at no cost to you. That will be part of the warranty. And of course, you know, the software update. And our telephone line support, in between, if you need anything or anything wrong, we can use our server and to replace, you know, to support you. And they say you move your appliance from one network to another network, and in between you got into trouble, and we will stand by and deliver service for you.
Okay. And John, in terms of software updates, one of the things I'm really proud of is we bring out new features all the time that you get for no additional fee. For example, all the customers now have access to Remote Hand. It just comes with the software.
Correct.
I'll attest to that because I've been getting updates for your stuff for, you know, I think this is, Well, let's see. I actually have two appliances. I forgot I have a streamer from you guys that you gave me that I can't use because of my Comcastic connection here. And as soon as I get that fixed, we'll be streaming direct from your device. But I think I've only had two appliances. I started out with a low-end remote support, and then I upgraded to TM820 or something.
Yeah.
But that's good. I have it sitting in my server room on a shelf, and I don't think I've touched it once. The updates, everything's pretty much automatic.
Yeah, that's true. And so look at this. And let's say, you know, we have a comparison, and with LogMeIn. LogMeIn 1 month, now how much? $70?
I don't know. It's a lot.
I think it's about $70. Yeah. So here, you know, basically you add a win and a session, and this session is floating, you know, to your user. It's just 2 months, and you know, the login cost. That's about it.
I think it's $49 per month just for the starter, and then you go up from there. So if you've got to do. Yeah.
That's a remote access function, right? For remote support, their pipes are
right.
expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, remote support's a whole different ballgame. That LogMeIn right. Central. I think one of my clients paid $4,000 a year for theirs.
Well, I mean, then you buy, I don't know how many you buy from us. And for remote access, you know, LogMeIn, you talk about $49. Here is only $20, you know, $19.
Right.
This $19 is a one-time deal.
Yep. All right. I was trying to look at some other features that, like I said, I apologize because this is the only thing I've used it for is my backup remote support. But I know that, you know, if you talk about the all-in-one appliance, you know, you're talking about, you know, I said the one customer, they used it for in-house training. And remote support for their in-house tech, but there's a webinar feature, there's a streaming feature. I mean,
yeah, and you know, this is all built in for different purpose. And for webinar, you know, you just want to people, you know, view on it, and you don't need to you know, control, you know, collaboration. It's no. You know, it's very simple. You know, sometimes you perhaps just put a chat message, and that's it. And so that's what we provide. And you just use a web browser from anywhere, actually, PC, Mac, even Linux, and a mobile device, and just use a browser you can join. The live streaming and the same. The streaming and the deal, you know, webinar difference is streaming, we can stream video, audio. But this one webinar, we do not stream audio. And you use a telephone and to join us. By the way, we talk about the telephone. And we offer the mixed, you know, the telephone with, you know, people can dial in and into one session. And while you can use a computer, you know, to join in. And this is very much like a WebEx, Zoom, they all these major player, they have this function. And the audio you can from line telephone line or from computer. And we are offering, you know, the same function. You know, we've offered this for free. This is a part of the warranty also. And you know, we have a dial-in number from 28 countries around the world.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, John, as CEO, what is the one thing when this company was being, you know, built from the ground up, what was the main motivation to get this product out there and to make it do so much?
Well, Larry, you have to better answer this.
Yeah, so we were noodling before we actually launched the company. We were noodling the deployment options that might be available to us, and we're talking 2005 now. So that's a lot of history. The dominant player was WebEx, and they really seemed to be, as Zoom is today, they seemed to be the dominant player, and so the. Market research, we did some market research, and market research said that the on-prem sector was being ignored, not being supported by the industry. But the biggest problem with on-prem was IT support, keeping the products up. So if you brought Microsoft in-house and you were trying to do in those days, I forget what Microsoft called it 15 years ago. It was the old Placeware product that they acquired. If you brought Microsoft in-house and they upgraded the web conferencing component, you had to worry about the database. You had to worry about the operating system. Are they all compatible? Yada, yada. And it became a big support issue that companies didn't want to go through. So that's what drove us to contain it in one box where we provide the operating system, we provide the database, we provide the application, and we ensure that they're always in sync. And all you have to do is set auto update, and it updates itself. So that's the thought process we went through when we first started the company, was that there was an opportunity for on-prem. The market wasn't being served by the existing players, but the issue was support. Could we deliver a product that would minimize support and still address the on-prem requirements?
And also security.
Well, that's, so on-prem to us are three main things: branding, security, integration. Branding, you get, as John mentioned earlier, it's your own site, it's your own mymeeting.com, whatever. Security, we got the whole white paper on that. That's a really big deal for us. And then integration, and the best example of integration is LDAP, Active Directory integration.
Yeah, you can launch, you know, the meeting or join meeting from your own web page. And that's a very simple integration. And we have a number of API published here. And you can use a web API and, to point to a PC to a schedule, join, and a start. And we publish, you know, API for a mobile app. You can, you know, a lot of integration here. You can, of course, you know, and LDAP. You can, you know, integrate with your other application and for, you know, use authentication also. Of course, you know, there's a branding and the whole, you know, join meeting page and a host meeting page, especially at the end of the session, and you know, where you want to direct your user to, you know, to enhance your message, and all this, and you are under control. And it's a very interesting, you know, you use a web app, so Zoom, and at the end of the session, you know, that your, you know, attendee side will point to their website, you know, they boom, they bomb out, you know, how great the web app is. And you pay you know, their service, and then they will direct your attendee to their website at the end of the session, and will promote their message. And that will not happen, you know, once you have our box and our server, and you control that.
Marvin, there's a whole section of the product that people that use hosted systems are unaware of, and that's the server side control. It's a topic all on its own. You do have access, because you have it on your network, you have access to things you don't get with a hosted system. For example, when you set up users, and you can do this through Active Directory or LDAP as well, you can assign privileges to each category of user. For example, the marketing department cannot do remote support applications. The remote support, the technical people can't do webinars. Those are all privileges you can assign. Some people can file transfer. Some people can do videos. Some can't. All those privileges are assigned by you. You have control over it. You can set up what you want to for the users. You can publish schedules if you want, because you own it, you have it. If you have internal staff meetings that you want to publish the schedule on your internal website, you can do that. You can control the performance of the product. If you do have a network issue, you can lower the resolution of the webcam. If you're on a complete LAN network, you can increase the resolution. So all those components on the server side are not available on hosted systems.
Yeah, and here, you know, I just want to assure you, and you have a different meeting type, and you can create a user group, you know, to define the meeting type and then assign to a group. That would be easier. And for individual user, let's say, you know, this a sales guy, you know, he does not want to this and stuff. And I just want to check off. And that will limit him, you know, to what he need.
All right. Yeah, John, you beat me to it. I was going to bring up my page and share it, but you beat me to it. But you've got everything there. And yeah. You can see you've got... you know, on the left there, all the things with, you know, IP and system settings. You can you know, name and logo, the entry page, promotion page, all of that stuff are things that are controllable by, go ahead.
And here, and you can you can direct the entry page where to go. You know, when people type this, you know, you can go to your own page and to the join meeting and and a host meeting and the promotion page. You know, at the end of the session, what you want to direct to the attendee to. Of course, you can upload your own certificate, SSL certificate, and this is LDAP and the integration here. And then you can integrate it with your own server and you know the other application. Let me see what else I want to talk about. And you can by default we will use our free audio conference. And then, of course you can use your own audio conference and put it there. And the system setting here, this is a set up of the parameter. And how many and webcam you want to support and at the same time. We can support up to 100 webcam now. And so a lot of webcam. So you can define what kind of resolution and the webcam resolution you want to deliver and the maximum bandwidth. And here, let me see. Yeah, that's a common feature here. And this is IP setting and you can set up, this is your local IP here. And this is a public domain. You need to do a portfolio. Oh, here is a little bit interesting here. You see that we can limit it and access, people joining a meeting and through a certain IP. This is not sort of like, extranet. And when you start a meeting and you can say, hey, I want to this meeting to go through authorized IP only. And you can do that. So that's an extra security measure, and then we put it there. So especially when you put this box into the public domain, and you can even limit and what kind of IP you want people to join the session. And also we have, let me see, the deployment. And I perhaps want to cover the deployment a little bit. The deployment here, we have the three types of deployment that you want. And here you completely put your box and behind the firewall, nobody can access. And we have customer from a defense company and from banks, and that's the common deployment that they have. They don't want to expose this box to anyone. So their organization, their employee can access this box through their VPN. So that's we call the internal deployment. And another way is that this is very typical. Internal people can join, external can join. And so you put your firewall or you put the box into your DMZ. And that's very nice. It's a combination. Here, because you put in the DMZ, so this box is still under your firewall. So this box can still, control, and integrate with your LDAP and still protect it. Meanwhile, external user can join. And they're very nice. And the third one is completely public. It's just like everyone else.
Okay, so I didn't do that one. Mine is behind the firewall on my LAN, and then I just did the DNS to my meeting webpage. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're much like this one, right?
No, the first one. The first one.
The first one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the box itself, this server itself, has a firewall built in already. You can just put it here and don't worry about it.
I think it's also fair to say that given the aerospace companies that use the product, it's been scrutinized carefully for security. There are no holes in the product. The web server component of it is bulletproof. The operating system, it's a custom build. There are no backdoors in the operating system. The box itself is very secure. You don't crack it, even if you do put it in a DMZ or you put it in an area where it has public access. There's still nowhere to go in the box.
Yeah, we have a defense company. They're really sensitive on that. They test our box. Use a various tool.
All right.
Make sure. Yeah.
Now, that brings me to another point I was going to ask you about. So you released a specific version 911 for first responders.
Right.
So what's different with that box as opposed to what most of us would get?
This one is it's a dedicated and one meeting and a box, the one meeting room. So this is designed for like a schools. You know, when they have something happened, you don't want to, you know, meeting ID, you know, this kind of thing, and that's too much. So you just you know, blast and the joint meeting and the URL. There's no meeting ID there. It's just basically it's just the URL, you know, just the URL, and then you quickly, you know, get all these first responders from fire department, the police department, and the school, and the board, you know, and the security guys all come together very quickly and join that session. And this is, you know, mostly this for a video. And so the video is a critical component there. Of course, you can, you know, integrate with your monitor system and share, and you know, your different camera there, and then you put all this into the screen, and then we can, you know, screen out, and then you can see what's going on with, you know, different camera. You know, in real time, and then you can bring up and the documents. For example, this school, you know, campus, the layout. And this will really help a first responder, you know, see what's going on there. They will have a big picture. And we can integrate with the alert system. You know, they send out, you know, a quick message and to their, and you know, this safety and a stakeholder, and they can quickly, you know, get them together. Of course, we will, you know, support a different platform. And most importantly, you know, we record this session. And so you can audit, you know, what happened.
And again, Marvin, when the facility is instrumented, when you have Wi-Fi or you have internet in the facility, that's what John's talking about. But the first responder system can also be field deployed. And we're rolling out, we're working right now on some technology to make it easier to deploy a Wi-Fi mesh in the field that the server then would access and would use. So you don't need the internet. So one of the things we're looking at here, we live in California, and when we get wildfires out here, wildfires wipe out the infrastructure. Sometimes you can't even use satellite because it's too smoky to get a signal through. So we're very sensitive to being able to support collaboration locally without worrying about internet connection. If you have internet connection, that's great. You can bring other teams in. For the local team, but if you don't, at least the local team can collaborate.
Yeah. Mommy, you still have a little time?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and then I can quickly and introduce a couple of other and you know, product we're offering. And one is what we call the endpoint and the video conference. So what we learned with our customer, you know, every time they bring their laptop to the conference room, you know, to present, they always have some trouble. You know, sometimes the webcam could not open. You know, the audio, you know, it's not great. So we use this dedicated and endpoint. So this webcam audio, this audio, and this and the main, you know, device here is all wrapped there. It's just every time you turn on, it will work. It will not, you know, to plug this, plug that, and to adjust. That's what we built here. And also, extended to this, there's a function there, and the server we can even build in. You don't need a server. So there's a build, this is really a client, you know, the client is running here. It's a Linux client here. So we can build, you know, we have one model, and then the client and server all within this box. And so now it's self-sustained, and, you know, you're self-sufficient. You don't need the external one. So this is one application for that is, and you have a very secure and it's cheaper though. The very secure and a room, and you don't want to, you know, and anyone to access from outside. And it's just go there, and people can just, you know, collaborate right away. And another one here is, what I talk about is really top of room. That's what we talk about. Now here, you know, the client and the server, you know, put together. And so this client can, you know, link them to a TV and a projector, And you don't need anything. You know, everything's built in. So now you can collaborate just within this one room. Okay.
All right. Let me make a note of that, because I have a customer that's opening up one of those co-working shared workspaces, and that would be perfect for that. So
yeah, this is designed for a small conference room. You know, they can have what we call a huddle room, and you can just collaborate with there, and don't bother anyone else. It's dedicated there. It's a setup already. It don't bother, and just a couple of $100. And another one is this, the same concept, you know, used in the classroom. So now the classroom, you have a dedicated, a client and a server built in also. So you link it with your TV and the projector, and we have even provide a microphone. So that's a whole room, the classroom, and, the kids and the students, they can collaborate and together, look at that. They can annotate and, with the teacher, and it's very effective. And here you see that the kids can annotate. It's where is San Francisco, for example, they can, test the student to show me. You can record that. Of course, if some student is sick and outside cannot join the class, he can bring in. Let's see, we have other function here. That's about it.
Okay. So all of these different things, basically out of a similar line of products, all off the same software in a sense, all of these, iterations.
Yeah, different package. Yeah, different delivery. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let me grab the screen back here, and I found my picture that I wanted to show you. Let me open this up and do a full screen, and then I will show that. There it is. And we're going to share here. So that is the middle rack in my server room, and there's my R-Hub appliance. The box next to it is not another R-Hub appliance. I have a little streamer down below. That's my Datto box. But that's what I use for my backup support. And you mentioned earlier the fact that, you can do video even through the remote support, which I have done. Scared a customer or two by doing it. but all of that in that little box there. So, all right, Larry, how do you want to end this? What last words do you want to say about R-Hub Communications?
So I think in general, we focus on the niche of the market where security is important. So if you're looking at collaboration tools, real-time collaboration tools, in general, no, we're not going after the cloud-based. We're not going after the hosted systems. Our sweet spot are applications where security is paramount. That's one thing. And the other thing is that because we're 15 years old and we've been doing this for a long time, we're looking at unique deployments for the product. So the idea of doing field deployment, the idea of doing mode hand, and there's some other projects we're working on internally that might be better for first responders, are all more vertical markets, if you will. The core product is very horizontal. The only requirement from a horizontal standpoint is that you have a need for security. But from there on, when you look at products like remote hand, that's more of a vertical for service responders or that kind of thing, service organizations to use rather than the general application. And that's who we are, and that's where we're going.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Dorey, CEO, and John Mayo, CTO of R-Hub Communications. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for taking some time to get on and do this live presentation with me. And when new things come out, I hope that you would come back and share them with us.
Thank you, Marvin.
Marvin, thank you very much for being a great user, and thank you for the support. We really appreciate it.
All right. You are so very welcome. I'm just Again, I'm sorry that it took me so long to do this. I've been using it forever and never thought to have you guys on, but I've got you now. And folks, if you want to get more information, again, the website is rhubcom.com and the phone number 866-758-0984. I will have all the information in the show notes, and I am close to working on that web page that I have mentioned where the handouts and the white paper that they made on remote access security, we'll be able to get that to you. You just go to the website, download whatever you need there, and that should be coming up very soon. So again, thank you to Larry and John, and that's going to do it for this episode of PodNuts Pro. We'll be back next week with more great, wonderful stories, tips, and tricks on how to run your your MSP, your IT, your MSSSP, whatever business you're running in the technical world, we'll help you run it. So that's going to do it. And until next time, holla.